can handle the truth.
Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from my office in the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today in RBN Studio B. To see the guest lineup for Studios A and B, please click on the word schedule in the RBN banner at the top of the page at republicbroadcasting.org. Please visit spingola.com to see the guest lineup for this program, along with relevant links. During the program, email your questions or comments to Spingola1 at yahoo.com. My regular email is Deanna at Spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, Spingola.com, or by going to Spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 877-488-5350. Our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org. Welcome to the program, Rodney.
Well, thank you for having me back again, Deanna. I'm looking forward to this topic because I think we're going to see that a clear difference between what could have been and the what Germany had planned for the post-war. And the fact that Germany had great plans, as opposed to what happened as a result of the what we'll call the Western Allies and the Soviet victory, and as a result of their collaboration. And we'll, you know, as we've discussed in prior shows, the Germans really had no real plans for a vast world war. They did not have any plans to conquer the world, and we're going to discuss that and address that today. That's been vastly misrepresented and outright. That's another one of the big, massive amount of lies. We talked about that the last show. It's not just the big lie, it's the volumes of lies, and that's another one. If anybody sought to rule the world, it was this agreement between Roosevelt and Stalin, i.e. hyper-capitalism and communism, to divide the world among themselves. And for about 70 years, you had the United States ruling part of the world and the Soviets ruling part of the world. And now with the Soviets gone, the United States is having a heck of a time trying to, rule the whole enchilada. And it's made the country bankrupt, and it's created this, you know, caste system in the United States. And it's just not working out very well, is it?
Indeed. Indeed. Could we talk just a minute before we go to the break about the oral interviews? I listened to one this morning with Mrs. Gretel Hines that you did July 26, 2012. And yes, you are looking for people who have ancestry that perhaps lived in Germany or whose parents lived in Germany. Tell us what you're looking for.
Well, yes, and that, yes, and we just confirmed a third one. We actually have three scheduled for October and one scheduled for November. I'm going to New York in November and interview a former Luftwaffe pilot who flew over the skies of Budapest in 1944-45 in the Battle of Budapest against the Soviets, and who himself was held captive in a Soviet gulag for a good 5-6 years after war. And so he'll give us firsthand testimony of what it was like to be in a Soviet gulag after the war, and having served and flown Messerschmitt ME-109 against the Soviets and defending Eastern Europe against the Soviets. We have an interview with a former member of the, and he, by the way, a gentleman that flew against the Soviets, lived in the former East Prussia. And we all know what happened in East Prussia. We'll pick it up on the other side of the break.
All righty. Be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you.
Are you concerned about fluoride, chlorine, parasites, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Dalton ceramic water filters have been made continuously since 1827 and are used by disaster relief organizations and in third world countries to supply safe drinking water. Not only do we offer gravity filter systems, but also under the sink and countertop systems. Our replacement filters can be used to upgrade your existing system. And unlike some other filters on the market, Dalton filters do not have to be primed. For more information, call us at 800-696-1435, 800-696-1435, or order online at Dalton.com. That's DOULTON.com.
Allison C. is made from pure garlic through a patented process that stabilizes the actual Allison of 34 cloves of garlic in one tiny capsule. Allison only exists for a fraction of a second when you crush a clove of garlic. It is the most powerful, natural antibiotic known to man and has been proven in laboratory testing to kill bacteria, viruses, fungus, and parasites without upsetting the natural balance of healthy organisms in the body. Allison C also helps prevent disease when taken on a regular basis. You can purchase your Allison C through Paul Drockton's website, internettruth.org. Start enjoying the benefits of this all-natural supplement today. Go to internettruth.org for your supply. Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and super male and femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. Herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.com. .org. Rodney, in your introduction, you pointed out the obvious. It was, in fact, British America and the Soviet Union that wanted to establish a new world order. And despite the fact that so many people, especially in the truth movement, so-called truth movement, say that that it was Germany and Hitler that wanted to do this, that is just not correct. And Amazing. Well, because it's so obvious.
Yeah, and it makes me crazy when I hear people that say that they're part of a truth movement buy into lies and spread lies, because they essentially buy into the Jewish narrative, who themselves mastermind some of the greatest lies in history, and they'll get into this about, oh, you know, they'll buy into the evil Nazis, you know, are going to come take your guns, and, you know, the current government's going to come take your guns like the evil Nazis did, when, in fact, the National Socialists didn't take anybody's guns. As a matter of fact, the Allied Control Council implemented gun confiscation after the war was over, and they were amazed that all you needed in National Socialist Germany to own a firearm was a hunting license. Now, foreigners and non-citizens couldn't have firearms. But German citizens, all she needed was a hunting license. So, I mean, this is just absolutely incredible to have people in the so-called to say that they're for truth, but they're for selective truth, and they will buy into this Jewish narrative and into this agenda history, this slanted history, and perpetuate these volumes of lies. It's just not true because it's convenient. Anyways, I said get back on the oral interviews. Also, this Tuesday, I'll be in the Pacific Northwest interviewing a gentleman who was a member of the Reich's Labor Service and served in the Wehrmacht. And then on October 26th, I'll be in the Great Lakes region, not too far from Chicago, interviewing.
Really?
And this will be one of my toughest interviews to date. And I say to date because I'd like to do as many as possible, and I'll give you the model that I'm trying to establish. But this gentleman was a young man in Germany, both before and during the war. And in the post-war years, he watched his mother and grandmother starve to death as a result of Western Allied occupation policy that kept reducing the number of calories that were allowed for Germans. I even only have so much food. Oh, we're going to take more away. And obviously his mother, from what I understand, we'll get more in the interview, but I know it was a practice by talking to other Germans who lived through this horrible, horrible period that mothers and grandmothers would give their food to their children and they themselves would starve to death. And this gentleman was subsequently raised by an aunt. And so this is going to be a very tough interview for me. And then another interview I just confirmed was with a German lady who lives in Southern California. And she grew up in Stuttgart and witnessed very firsthand. She saw many, many of her friends and family were lost to the Allied terror bombings, which targeted the German civilian population. So, you know, the purpose of this oral interview, let me just give you an example. We all know who Mr. Steven Spielberg is, the Jewish Hollywood producer who has made millions and millions and millions off of Hollywood films. And he took that money and he created this thing called the Shoah Project, where he brought in all these Jews telling their stories, a lot of them lies. But interestingly, if you dig into some of them, you'll find some Jews in there that he does not promote their stories, because some of these Jews in the Shoah Project who are given oral interviews will tell tales and recount their time in some of these camps that do not fit into the traditional Jewish narrative. But for the most part, he gets people in there telling outlandish stories that have been proven false. They're still perpetuating the lies that have been proven false. But he spent hundreds of millions of dollars preserving this, quote, Shoah Oral History Project. And that's being used as an archive effort for people to keep writing books to perpetuate all of these falsehoods, to keep demonizing and keep the guilt trip going against Germany and the National Socialist government and what took place. And my project is to capture the oral histories of Germans that actually lived through Germany and can give firsthand testimony to say, no, that is not true. It did not. You know, like we talked about in the last show, Deanna, not every German was made to watch Jud Süß or to watch the propaganda films, because Germany had strict ratings regulations where children weren't allowed to watch adult or propaganda movies. And if you listen to my interview with Gretel Hines, she said that in her interview, that as a child, she was not allowed to watch certain movies because the rules prohibited it. That's in that interview with Mrs. Hines. My purpose is to let's create some balance. Let's have an oral history project with the citizens of the Third Reich, where people that want to engage in intellectual honesty and integrity and historical justice can go and say, well, where is an archive from Germany? Well, I'm trying to create that archive. The difference is Mr. Spielberg has millions, and of course he'll have Jews lining up whether they were there or not. I mean, he can get Jews that lived in New York during the war, says, I'm a Holocaust survivor, and give all sorts of fairy tale antics. And I'm trying to go out and interview Germans that lived before and during the war and immediately after the war, and or they were children and have firsthand accounts of what life was really like, to separate fact from fiction, and to see the quality of interview like you've seen with Mrs. Hines, and also Wilhelm Christman is on there, and the ones that are already scheduled. and to provide an accurate database forever, because they're on there, they're able to be downloaded, and of course they're on CDs. I give them to the individual. And a lot of times the people that I interview, they're doing this for their family. They want to hand something down to their family. And in the case of Mrs. Hines, Worldview Foundations is assisting her in publishing her book, a book of her experience not only in Germany, but also to outline what she saw happen in the Sudetenland with the atrocities to the Sudeten Germans. So she actually, her book, she did have an outline, which we're helping her with, but we're actually going to publish her memoirs. That's going to be one of our publishing projects.
What a fabulous effort that you're making. I just applaud you. This is the best idea. Wonderful, wonderful idea. And there are a lot of Germans that listen to this program, and I hope that they will contact you. And you need to get some help on this. You can't be running all over the country by yourself doing all of this. I know that you fund yourself. And so I think that you need some help, whether it's financial or whether it's other people who can conduct these interviews for you.
Well, that would be very helpful. Only this year, early this year, did we start soliciting and accepting contributions. For the first year and a half, this organization was a whole 100% self-funded by myself. But as we grew and we entered into the publishing arena, and then we started, the more travels, going to, all the way to the East Coast, going to the Midwest and all over, it became the organization grew more than just, posting essays and such. And it really got to the point to where we actually had to seek support from those that, from our fans and those that agreed with what we were doing. And, it's never easy in a real tough economy to ask for money. But if people agree with what we're doing and support historical justice and truth, then, of course, the support would be appreciated because, for instance, I'll give you an example. The former Luftwaffe pilot in New York, he knows these are lean times, and he offered to in an effort to save lodging, he says, I'll put you up in my home. At my age, my kids are grown. I just get visits from my kids and grandkids now. He said, I'll put you up in my home to save funds on a hotel, and I'll pick you up at the airport. I mean, there is some excitement I'm sensing that that this history is now being taken down, and the accurate history is being told. Again, I just don't have the resources that Mr. Spielberg does, and even if he wasn't throwing in his own money, the Jewish machinery would gladly fund it to hundreds of millions of dollars to keep those lies and falsehoods going.
Right. Well, there's certainly you're certainly welcome to stay here when you're in Chicago.
Well, I'll send you an email, because I did get an email from one of the listeners that suggested perhaps we got to get together for dinner while I'm back there, and I certainly like that. I'd like to actually pick up your book while I'm back there.
That would be lovely.
The topic we're going to talk about today was actually the Germany's post-war plans, and there's been a lot of discussion. I've gotten a lot of emails on this, and that's why I actually talked to you, Deanne, about this topic. What do the Germans want to do? I mean, and this has been so maligned and misrepresented in history, because Germans traditionally they are excellent planners. They don't do anything without a plan. They don't do anything off the cuff. And I think it's really, really important to have a little bit of a comparison. We talked a little bit of it briefly. We looked at the comparison and the lies and the falsehoods that the Germans wanted to rule the world. We're going to address that. That was not the Germans' intent. In fact, the opposite. It was the United States and the Soviet Union. And in fact, as you've seen these conferences going on between the United States and England and the Soviet Union, you saw Roosevelt actually squeezing out England to be basically a two-part world domination by the United States and the Soviet Union. And why? Because Roosevelt and Stalin were kissing cousins. They were both communists, and so they had no problem dividing the world up among themselves.
Exactly. All righty, we do have a 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
collection calls.
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of balance concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TheraVim.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
All righty, welcome back. Our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org. Okay.
Hi, Deanna. Well, as we said before the break, it was actually the United States and the Soviets that actually had had plans of world domination, and and we know going in, pre-war or during the war, the Soviets were gearing up for an invasion of Europe, and Barbarossa, the German invasion in 1941, headed that off. Essentially, Barbarossa was an attempt to prevent Bolshevik communist domination of Europe and of Eastern Europe. And what did the United States do? The United States came to the aid of communism. And I think that people, they need to understand, we see these famous clips of Ronald Reagan saying evil empire and the Soviet Union is bad. The Soviet Union was out on its feet in 1941. There was German troops, a white Western Christian army within 12 miles of the Kremlin, and essentially Roosevelt, through all of his finagling, like he was helping England, started helping the Soviet Union. In 1945, when Berlin fell, the Soviets are driving around Berlin in U.S. Army jeeps and carrying Colt 45s. I mean, we need to understand that communism would not have existed. There would have been no Cold War. There would not have been a Soviet domination of Eastern Europe had the United States and England not been on the wrong side of history. But the Soviets had a clear plan they wanted to do, and they actually implemented post-1945, when they moved in and grabbed Eastern Europe. They actually implemented the plan that they had they invaded Europe and the Germans had not launched Barbarossa. They actually had been planning that, and we actually seen what the Soviets had planned. On the Western Allied side, we've seen this quasi-confusion, this kind of, you know, introduction of hyper-capitalism, and essentially, it's kind of interesting. I've always said the difference. You have the Soviets, you know, they raped Eastern Europe, and the Western Allies exploited Western Europe. That was their plan. The Germans, on the other side, I use the analogy on the Western, when I say the Western Allies exploited, I use the analysis, you know, creative destruction, which is a Mitt Romney type of, you know, capitalistic approach where you come in and you destroy nation states by loading them up with debt, which is what happened. And we're in these nation states in Europe today. They essentially are no longer, they're not existing anymore. This European Union model, New World Order, these nation states are ceasing to exist one by one. They're loaded up with debt. This is why you're seeing this blowback in Greece, for instance, with Golden Dawn and some of these other. Now, this is why Hungary has gone to a nationalist government. They rewrote their constitution, and they're basically thumbing their nose at this system, because this is this creative destruction where you load these either a company up or a nation state up with the debt, and then you force them to knuckle under and to give up their sovereignty and their nation state status is what essentially the Western allies have done over time. Germany had a different type of a situation, and we're going to see as we talk today that small European nations, especially in the East, fared far better under Germany than they did with the United States, the good old USA, and especially did far better than they did with the Soviets. And anybody wants to ask, they should ask the Baltic republics of Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia what it's like to be under the Soviet boot. These are the nations, and even Ukrainians, these are the nations that to this day still commemorate their volunteer Waffen SS divisions that are now building memorials to them. And we're going to see why here. We're going to see why today. You can go back and look at as far back, Deanna, as the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk. And this is important because Germany has long had an Eastern interest, Eastern policy. Germany's post-war aims and goals were not fundamentally different under the Third Reich than what the Germans were looking to do and secure had they won in World War One. Germany had this encirclement issue all through its history, going back to Frederick the Great. Germany is sitting there in Central Europe, and as was historically going back into, you know, under the Kaisers and under Frederick the Great, was threatened on the west by France, on the east by Russia, and on the oceans by England, and for a large period of time until they beat the Austro-Hungarians, by the Austro-Hungarians. But anyway, if you look at it's important to look what the Germans did to give you an idea. When I said that these smaller Eastern European countries and smaller countries fared better than the Germans, let's look what the Germans did under the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk, which was the peace treaty in 1918, where Russia, then had, under the Bolsheviks, left World War One. They wanted out of World War One, so they signed this peace treaty with the Germans. And this is what the Germans established as terms of the peace treaty in Eastern Europe. Under the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk, Finland, Estonia, Latvia, Belarus, which eventually returned and became part of the Soviet Union. I think we're going to break, so we can pick this up.
We are. All righty. Okay. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every meat eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus meat eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the freeze-dry guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including turtle tough shelters.
We have added two 24-foot turtle tufts to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in two sizes. Get your turtle tough shelter and accessories included at turtletoughshelters.com. That's turtle T-U-F-F shelters.com or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288 or see them online at turtletoughshelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
And our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org.
Well, getting back, you know, I was laying the foundation to the, you know, Germany's post-war goals and proposals, you know, or what might have been, you know, post the war, World War II, had the Germans prevailed. It's really important to look back. When I obviously look back at the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk and what the German government was looking to achieve post World War I. As I said, the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk was the treaty that ended the war between Germany, Austro-Hungary, Central Powers, and Soviet, what became Soviet Russia. As I said, as a result of that treaty, it's interesting that Germany achieved independence for Finland, Estonia, Latvia, Belarus, Ukraine, Lithuania, and then Poland got a semi-autonomous territory, which included Warsaw at that time as well. And there is this adage we hear that even on the news media today. In fact, I even heard it not too terribly long ago by this. Talking shrill head Chris Matthews is talking about, we got to beware of nationalism. When some world leader says that I need to bring all of my ethnic people together, that's bad, that's Hitlerism. Well, you know, it is true that Hitler did have a desire to bring all the Germans together in the Greater German Reich, but that wasn't only his ambition. That was a German proposal, a German aim by the World War I German government, by the Second Reich, per se. As a matter of fact, you know, General Ludendorff had written, it said, German prestige demands that we should hold a strong protecting hand not only over German citizens, but over all Germans. And that was the aim of, you know, that was the guiding hand as part of the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk as well. Well, anyway, as I said, you have the first aim, and I think it's really important to keep this as a foundation, that all of those Eastern European countries, as a result of Germany, achieved independence. As a matter of fact, today's Russian border, post the collapse of Soviet Union, when of course Belarus became independent again, Ukraine became independent again, they all lined up along those original Treaty of Brest-Litovsk borders, which is, I think, is kind of fascinating. And as a matter of fact, after the fall of the Third Reich, when it, you know, the archives were being stolen and being carted off, who were to grab them first? It's kind of funny. The Russians are pretty sloppy because the Russians control Berlin. They took what they, you know, what they wanted. Some stuff they just left laying on the floor. But some of the documents they found, Americans, when they finally got there, found documents in the archives where German planners were talking about building off of the World War I aims, such as the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk, as they moved into, had they won the war. So I just want to lay the foundation that here, World War I, the Second Reich, Germany established independence for peoples that had been under, you know, the Tsarist, the Russian boot. And as we see here, as we go into the Third Reich, we're going to see something very, very, very similar. And another question that had come up, I guess, in a prior show is what is today's European Union? Is that what the Third Reich was going to do? We're going to find that what the Third Reich was going to do is actually fundamentally different. The European Union is basically seeking to get away with nation states. That is not where the Third Reich was going to go. As a matter of fact, if you look early, as we said, 1939, the Polish campaign was not designed to be a world war. I think we have another show on that where we talk about the, you know, real origins of the war. 1940, right. They weren't even considering, you know, they knocked France out of the war. Every indication from their mind was, why is England going to continue this? First of all, it was ludicrous. You know, why is England guaranteeing Poland? What's their stake in this Polish corridor issue? And that's what it was. Then when France collapses, and these Germans essentially allow the British Expeditionary Force to go home without their equipment. I mean, that was a defeat. Dunkirk was a clear defeat, regardless of all the spin by agenda historians. Dunkirk was a defeat. The soldiers did get away. A lot of them did get away, but the equipment and all of their armaments was left behind on the beaches. But again, by 1940. There was really no reason for Britain to continue the Germans offered all of these peace proposals to England, and one of them was, you keep your navy, you have a free hands, you keep your colonies, we'll put, I can't remember the number of divisions, I think it was somewhere around 50 divisions of German troops will back you up on any of your policies in your colonies or at sea or anyplace else, but we get a free hand in Europe because the Germans were thinking eastward, and that's where we're going to go and talk about the overall German plans for what was going to be a new Europe, kind of a new order, a greater German Reich. And that the whole basis of German planning was this was going to be it. They were done with this encirclement. The Germans were going to be done with this business of being threatened by France on the west, threatened by Russia on the east. They were going to be done, you know, the horrors of being blockaded by England in the First War. They also had this fundamental strategy of being self-sufficient. There was also, they had a strategy of having natural, you know, having a perpetual supply of natural resources. And all of that came from the East. They also had a sense of a new economic sphere, which we talked about earlier, which they accomplished in Germany by being self-sufficient. They didn't need money brokering. They didn't need what I would call the Jewish barter, but the Jewish brokering system to have money middlemen inflating the costs of goods and services in the center. So they were going to expand the economic model that they had successfully implemented and Germany, Europe-wide, once this was over. But I think it's important to note that they were just not going to incorporate, you know, Europe was not going to be one continuous German nation by any means. The sense of nation states were going to continue. Hungary was going to be continued. It was going to get some of its land back that had been stolen after World War One. And I'm looking at a map, and there are maps from the German archives in the war. And one of them was drafted as early as 1937 that was projecting how a new Europe would look like. And let me run down some of what was projected. And this map grew as Germany exceeded its expectations much sooner than expected. Germany had alliances, and contrary to the number of lies that are told, Germany honored its commitments. For instance, with Mussolini, when he was stabbed in the back by the Italian monarchy and by some of his own members of his party, he was locked up. Germany sent a commando squad under Otto Sforzini to break him out and get him out. He had deep respect for Ion Antonescu in Romania. He honored his commitments. The Finns, he had great respect for Field Marshal Mannerheim. And when the Germans invaded Russia, the Soviet Union, and one of the primary objectives for post-war of the Soviet Union, the idea that the Soviet Union would be knocked out of the war, and the idea was the Soviets would be knocked out by, you know, at least by 1942. And there was, you know, that didn't happen, but the Soviets were almost out in 43. The Soviet Union was going to be split. The Germans had no desire to have any part of the Soviet Union east of the Urals. In fact, the model that the National Socialist government, Hitler, had for governing a new ordered Soviet Union was based on the British occupation of India. And so, in fact, during several conversations, and this is equally important, Hitler had said that Stalin would be allowed to continue his governance and his experiments in the new ordered Russia east of the Urals. Matter of fact, the German demarcation line was going to be the Ural mountain range, and those lands east of there would be considered Slavic lands. The Germans also were going to extend tremendous, they were going to divide those lands up into new districts, the areas up between Moscow to the Urals was going to be a Moscow district, a Gal type of situation. And then between Kazan and the Ural ranges was going to be a Ural zone. Ukraine was going to be expanded to the Volga River to include what was Stalingrad. I'm not sure that they would have kept Stalin's name on that city. The Caucasus regions, which include Georgia, was going to be expanded, and it was going to be developed into a single Gau. However, the port of Batumi and the Sevastopol, Crimean Peninsula, were going to be incorporated as essentially part of Germany. And there's a reason for that. The Caucasus regions were tremendous oil producers, and what we see as part of the German central planning is the natural resources. The Greater German Reich, and that was a term that was going to be used, the new Greater German Reich, the reordered Greater German Reich in the new Europe, was going to be self-sufficient and forever insulated from external threats, period. That's the way it was going to, that was the way it was going to be. And we're still talking about the East here. Belarusa was, its borders were going to be expanded almost to Tuluia, which is south of Moscow. The Baltic states were going to be merged into what became Ostland, all the way up south of what was Leningrad, and there was some talk that Leningrad was going to be fundamentally changed and be renamed back to St. Petersburg, which is what has happened post-Soviet Union, interestingly. Bessarabia was going to be taken back, interestingly, in 1940, Stalin had grabbed Bessarabia, and, of course, post-Barbarossa, The Germans had taken it back, and the Soviets took it back again. That was going to be reestablished as a quasi-autonomous region. Poland was going to have borders shifted further to the north. All of the remaining nation states in Europe, they were not going to be incorporated into this greater Germania like Hollywood has talked about. Finland was going to receive concessions in Soviet territory almost all the way to Archangel, the port of Archangel, for its commitment and its service in fighting the Soviets. So you see, essentially, the European territory of Russia becoming essentially an India to the Germans, like India was to England. And you ask, you know, now some people say, oh, so Germany was going to engage in imperialism. Well, my response to that was, well, so how many years did the British rule India? In fact, they didn't give it up until 1948, and that was for various reasons, because England went broke and lost their empire for being on the wrong side of history fighting the Germans. That's the reason why, and for no other reason. There was going to be a little bit of reordering on the west in the Western Europe. For instance, Belgium has about a quarter to a third of Belgium is German speaking. There's German speaking provinces there. Those were going to be withdrawn and incorporated into the Greater German Reich as well, because there was fundamentally a policy under National Socialist Germany of bringing the German speaking and the ethnic Germans back into Germany. But for the most part, Western Europe was not a primary concern of what was going to become the new Europe after the war was over. And, you know, contrary to popular myths, Germany was not going to launch a land invasion of the United States. They were not going to invade Latin America. In fact, Latin America, they had tremendous strategic plans to increase trade via the successful bartering system and trade that they already had in place pre-war with Latin America. Germany had tremendous trade relationships with Latin America and had tremendous history with Latin America, you know, going back 100 and some odd years. There was no, you know, this fallacy that the Germans wanted to rule and take over the world. Their central plan, their central goals and objectives had to do with a new reordering of Europe. And what we talked about so far has to do with the geography and some of the political and geopolitical districts they were going to implement. And I think it's interesting, too, as to England, that England was going to be left. You know, we know that Hitler had a great respect for England, and he made several comments that he was going to let Churchill retire to paint. Now, it's interesting that some of the discussions that the Germans had and their treatment of their vanquished or defeated leaders of their nations, and then you compare that to what the Allies did to the Germans after the war, I find that absolutely fascinating. The fact that Stalin was going to allow to rule the part of Russia east of the Urals, Churchill was going to be allowed to retire to paint, and yet it didn't work out that way, and Germany actually lost the war, and Germany, the German nation, was culturally, ethnically genocided, and they basically put the German leadership on these kangaroo trials and either summary executed them or executed them after these essentially mock trials.
Right. And of course, their greatest crime, according to the Jews, is the fact that they could get along quite well without the Jewish bankers to bankroll all of their, their government. And that was their greatest crime, and they had to be destroyed. And I think that's why they keep attempting to impose the various myths so that people won't find out about the economic situation that existed.
That's it. I think that's our topic for the 15th is the true origins of the war. And, you know, Churchill admitted that, is that the Germans took their economy under their control, took control of their money, took control of their exports, and then controlled their imports, and basically nationalized their economy. They didn't socialize. I think it's really important. You get a lot of this, clout muddy in the waters. Oh, they were a bunch of socialists. Well, they weren't socialists of the left, and they weren't, right-wing, conservatives that we see today either. And that's something we'll talk about on our next show. And I think it's really important now to look at some models, because obviously the Germans didn't win the war, so we don't we can't see what they did, but we can certainly look at some of the models. The Germans preserved nation states. When they occupied, if you look at the countries that they occupied, the Germans were busy fighting. Their main objective was to win the war, and they were fighting in North Africa. They were fighting on the Eastern Front, and they still had England. England was still hanging in there.
All righty. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
How would you like to own land? A refuge to escape from big cities, possible food shortages, the collapse of the dollar, or just a vacation trip is now available to you. Lots of fishing and hunting are available just across the Rio Grande River. Own your personal Colorado Wilderness RV lot within three stones' throw of the Rio Grande River for $1,395. Quarter acre lots, county road access. All lots come with warranty deed, all just for $1,395. Call 785-672-3141, 785-672-3141, or go online to coloradoriverlots.com for more information and to see photos. It is away from civilization, a good business investment, and a low-cost protection plan. Call today, 785-672-3141.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today. Toll free 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now 800-537-1339.
Is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org. And we do have some questions, some email questions, and I think there's questions from the chat room.
There's one question I can answer really quick in the chat room.
Okay.
That talks about one gentleman asked that his father or grandfather had mentioned that in South America there was a swap of German technical assistance building infrastructure in exchange for bananas, coca, coffee, and such. That's absolutely true. There was a tremendous German presence in Latin and Central America, and there still is, actually. And that was one of the trades. German engineers assisted in the development of infrastructure in nations in exchange for those products. Among other, there was other trade. German tractors were also traded as well, and German vehicles and trucks and such were traded as well, just dependent. But the actual specific question had to do with the development of infrastructure in exchange for those materials and those products, and that is accurate.
Right. And Kate has a question. She says, quite a while ago I heard an interview where the guest quoted General Patton as saying that the Germans were one of the most decent people he had ever met. She can't remember the guest or what show that she heard it on, but the quote stuck with her. Now that she says, now that I'm becoming more informed of the real history, thanks to you and such people as your guest today, the quote has taken on more meaning for me. I have tried to research this, but couldn't find it. Can you or your guest verify it? I believe that's probably out of General Patton's own diary.
He made two quotes. First of all, he made the quote about the Germans being the most professional and the most decent, and he also made another quote about the displaced persons, which we talked about before, which were the Jews that were released from the concentration camps being the most vile, disgusting, uncivilized people as well. I can't give you a reference, but I will look for it. I will post it on my site. Over to the left of my website, it's like a blog, but it's where I post little news items. I'll post it there. I'll look for it in the next day or so over the weekend. But he made those two quotes, and I always found that very interesting. And he made those towards the end before Eisenhower fired him as governor of Bavaria. I think he made those shortly before they were around the same time period when he made the comments that Eisenhower used to remove him as military governor and put him in charge of a paper army.
Right. Yeah, that whole issue with Patton and Eisenhower was very interesting, and certainly Eisenhower had him knocked off.
Well, let's be clear about that really quick, Dan, because I think we have some time, and this show is going very well. Eisenhower engaged in a plan, in a conspiracy. I'll use the word conspiracy. He had no problem to starve to death the German population. He hated the Germans. And as we'll see from the oral history interview, which I will be doing in your part of the country on the 26th, we're going to have a firsthand account of a German child, a young man, that watched his mother and grandmother starve to death. The Allied Control Council started off with a minimum calorie count, and then they kept lowering it and lowering it.
Right. All righty. We've got our 60-second top-of-the-hour break. We will be right back after a station ID. Be right back.